I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
You had a little more excitement than you expected this summer, talking about getting some attention. Lightning came along and did a number on your tax table out there.
Yeah. About 9 o'clock at night, I got a telephone call from our people, and they said the tack room was burning, and could see the fire, the flame from the house. So we came down, and sure enough, it was engulfed in flames. And that's the third fire that I've had to deal with in my different situations. Two at Three Bear Lodge, and then this one. Fires are never fun, but, you know, they cause a rebirth. So as bad as it may seem at the moment, if you just stick with it and pursue it and persevere, it all comes out fine. And so now we're up and running again, and we may go into more detail, but so looking back, that was a horrible night. But looking from right now, our vantage point right now, it's a big improvement. And so, gosh, never think I thought I'd say this, but thank goodness for that fire.
What was that night like for you? And that was busy season here at Parade Ranch, so you had people that were waiting to go on horseback rides.
Right. Well, we had a full house, and the young man that works at the desk was on his way back to his cabin and saw, he thought a light bulb looked a little strange, and all of a sudden it went poof, came and ran and said, the corral's on fire. Something's on fire over there. So I called 911 and called Clyde and went over there, and it had been lightning all around us and storming earlier from about 7 o'clock, and so this is after 9, and it's getting to be dusk. And, I mean, it's getting really dark by the time we get over there. It's still lightning, terrific lightning, and raining at the same time. Fire trucks come. Everything is ablaze. And Clyde and the family and everybody else, the kids, the Wranglers, the horses were out by the highway, so they weren't there. And the ones that were the first responders of the employees took out, they were able to get 3 saddles out. And the 3 horses that were kept for a roundup, they were let go and they went north. And the kids that were have nothing to do with horses and were scared to death of horses were out there holding on to the horses. And that's when I saw, you know, once I figured out where everybody was, there wasn't anything I could do but step back. I mean, the fire department is doing their job and doing a great job of it and watching it fire it burn. Yeah. You know, and that's all we could do. I guess the part that sticks in my mind is standing at the tack shed at 1 in the morning looking at this burnt building inside, how black it was and how what leather looks like when it's burnt and the wood and the walls and the wet. And I was standing next to one of the assistant fire chiefs, and he just said to me, whatever I said, a comment about, just can't believe how bad this looks. Everything's gone. And he said, you should call Gail. Now, I know that this is his uncle, and it could be his father-in-law. You know, there's 2 men that are have retired, and they had this tack. And so I knew what he was talking about. He said, I don't know if they've sold the tack or not.
Well, let's put this into perspective for people. It's a busy season for you. You have people that have come from all over the world, all over the country, and one of their big attractions is to go on a horseback ride. You had 40-some saddles in there, which anybody that's ever had to purchase a saddle or a bridle or the bit or anything else that goes along with it, the blanket, that is a massive investment and not easy to replace overnight. But you had people that were waiting to go on a ride the next day, and my understanding that that actually was accomplished because of good neighbors.
Yes, Gail Loomis showed up the next morning at 8 o'clock. And I never got a chance to call him. He showed up at the office and said, I heard what happened. And he said, I have a garage full of it, of tack, the saddles. I knew that they had discontinued their horseback riding business 3 or 4 years before that, a mile away from us. And he said, come and get it so you can keep going, whatever it takes to keep on. You know, we can decide about it later. And, you know, you really don't know what are you going to do. Everything's gone. You got horses. Got a full house of people. And we had a unique situation that was a couple and their daughter that was here that was physically and mentally challenged. And she was emotionally involved with those horses, had been all week. We're worried about her because she's watching all of this. And you had to be there to experience what she had gone through. And like one of the people that he talks about that when they left and came back or wrote back afterwards. Anyway, one of my employees went up and explained that the horses are okay because the girl, 22-year-old daughter, was shook up about them. So our guests knew what was going on and the staff was talking to them. The next day, this blessing comes to us. It's a godsend that he shows up because it didn't replace all of them, but we could at least keep operating. We were down one day without being able to ride. And went over and looked at them and brought them home and put them in horse trailers and made it work.
Yeah. Marge shared part of that story with us this morning at breakfast, got pretty emotional about it. But you talk about living out here and that you have good friends. This is one of those stories about people helping people, and you've sort of been in the business of doing that your entire life and reading your history about this community coming together and taking care of things like that.
Well, that's true. Whenever you have a small community, a pretty close-knit, and are willing to help each other, and West Yellowstone does a good job of that. Well, we have good neighbors, and when anyone gets in trouble, they step up to the plate to help. And, you know, everybody's just kind of that way. What goes around comes around. And so this was our turn to be on the receiving end. We've also had opportunities to be on the giving end. So we appreciate that.
And by the way, we have shared in years past the stories of Three Bear and the two times that it has burned down. And it's still standing now and more beautiful than ever. But Clyde always finds a way to tie back the history to the new build, and he's done that with the tack shed out there by using the old metal roof from the old building to now be sort of a protective base around the bottom of the new shed.
Yeah, I've always, you know, always been a firm believer in recycling and reusing. My mother and dad taught us that. So after the fire, Marge said, well, Larry said, her husband, well, just have him white shirt it. Well, white shirt it means recycle. And that's what we did. So that's when we had to start tearing it down. We pulled down all the metal off the roof and we salvaged everything that we could save, put it off to the side. And then as we rebuilt, we reused a lot of that. We erected a little sign, a pictorial timeline or history of or showing the fire down there so that everybody can see the actual fire, and a little sign that's outside that explains all of that. And then right next to it, you look and see the new tack shed now. And it's kind of eerie to look at that one picture where there are all those burnt saddles are there and the horns are metal and they're still there, but now it's a big improvement, and but I'm sure glad that it's behind us.
Well, by the way, part of that display is a picture of that little girl you were talking about, who has still those memories today, all these years later, in front of the old tack shed with her horse here at Parade Rest. All right, Marge, give me this sales pitch. When you get somebody on the phone to explain to them what Parade Rest is all about, what do you tell them to get them here?
A unique experience. 10 miles from the west entrance of Yellowstone Park, and taste of the past. Log cabins, no TV, do have cell phone, and do have Wi-Fi. And you can be as busy as you want, or you can just sit on the deck and enjoy the scenery.
And that's what we're doing right now. Going a horseback ride. When they get things back up and running next summer for the Cowboy Cookout, I would highly suggest that. But if people want information online, where can they get it?
ParaderestRanch.com.
ParaderestRanch.com. It's easy to do. By the way, that idea of being without a television is so nice.
Well, we do have one public one on the ranch over in the pavilion, which was a part of Clyde's rebuilding of the Three Bear. When it burnt the last time, they brought it down in sections, brought it out here, and he built us a gathering room for our guests to come, and we can handle up to 150 people in there to seat them. And there's TV, couches, game boards, horseshoe pits, kids' entertainment area outside. And that was a part of the Three Bear. And so that's where the only guest TV is at. And I know this afternoon we were getting ready for some tournament that's going on. Yeah. The foreigners are watching.
Yeah, by the way, the teeter-totter with the tractor seats on it over there on the other side of Grayling Creek is really a nice attraction for the kids, too. It is an experience of a lifetime. If you have a family and you want to visit the Yellowstone area, don't miss the opportunity to go a few more miles up the road just across from Hebgen Lake and enjoy Parade Rest Ranch. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with more of KSL Outdoors.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Just a minute. Getting ready to wrap up the show for another week, and we've been talking about the fact that the Utah State Fair is getting underway out at the State Fairgrounds here in Salt Lake City all week on Utah's Morning News. I wanted to touch base with the Division of Wildlife Resources. They've got a great DWR building out there, and I wanted to find out what the exhibit is that everyone can look forward to. And Channing Howard is an events coordinator for the division and actually joins us from the exhibit at the fairgrounds right now. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you.
We talk from time to time on this program about bear safety in Utah, and that is one of the emphases of the exhibit this year, right?
It is, yes. A big portion of our building this year is dedicated to highlighting bear awareness and learning about bears in Utah.
And probably giving people an opportunity to get as close as they'd ever want to be to one with a full-size black bear out there.
Yes, we've got a full-size black bear mount you can take your picture with, as well as a lot of other things you can touch and handle, including some bear poop and tracks and pelts to touch.
Just in case you've ever wanted to handle bear poop but didn't think you'd get the opportunity, huh?
Absolutely.
It says that on display will be some tools biologists use to manage the bear populations. What are we talking about?
So we have a actual radio collar that we've had on a bear previously, so you can tell it's been used, and some ear tags that were actually used to mark the individual bear with the numbers on them, as well as a little video loop that kind of shows you and explains how the biologists will actually go into the bear dens to actually study black bears and research black bears here in Utah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then specifics that we touch on from time to time here about how to stay safe and be bear aware while you're out there.
Absolutely. So on that note, we have a big campsite set up down the middle of our entire building. And we have a lot of different aspects of this campsite, both good and bad, highlighting the different things you should or should not do, such as don't leave your food out on the table overnight, things you should do, pick up your dog food at night, keep a clean campsite, that sort of stuff. So we have a lot of different things to help educate the public on things to do, not to do at your campsite to help keep you safe, help keep the bear safe, and how to learn how to be bear aware.
All right, so that covers bears. I know one of the big attractions every year out there is the big fish tank. I'm guessing it's there again this year.
Yes, we have a whole bunch of fish tanks that are full of different fish. This year we're highlighting native fish to Utah. So it may be a lot of species you're not familiar with, but one really interesting species is the June sucker, which is actually an endangered species that's endemic to Utah. So it only lives in Utah. And you don't really get to see those very often because they are endangered. So that's a really neat species to come see at the fair.
Yeah, and we sometimes get a little pushback from sportsmen, fishermen out there who are upset at some of the measures that are being taken to protect something like that June sucker. But maybe there are probably lifelong fishermen that haven't had the opportunity to even see one before.
Right. And we also have three different species of native cutthroat trout, the Bonneville, the Colorado, and the Bear River. And they're really, really beautiful colors are shining with the new aquariums that were added to the building last year.
I understand you're also going to put some Arkansas, you've already done it, 1,000 pounds of Arkansas catfish in for the kids to catch.
We do. The catfish are swimming around, and they were biting like crazy yesterday. So I anticipate the kids that come out here to fish from 4 to 7 will get a chance to catch their own catfish and get a picture taken with it.
Now, is that 4 to 7 every day?
4 to 7 every day during the fair.
Okay. So if you're planning on taking the kids out and having a chance at catching a fish, do it in the afternoons, then make special plans to be there during those hours. They don't have to RSVP or anything, do they, or bring any of their own fishing gear?
No, we will have all the fishing gear for them, poles, worms, and we'll have a lot of volunteers to help the kids learn how to fish. Even if they're too small to hold a pole, we can still let them come out and fish.
Yeah. Fair opened up on Thursday at 11 o'clock, but I guess you're going to have the building staffed throughout the fair every hour, aren't you?
Yes. So the building itself will be open every day during the hours that the fair is open, and then the fishing pond is just in evenings 4 to 7 every day that the fair is open.
Give everybody coordinates on where to find the building. Has it moved at all from years past?
It's the same building as been every year. We've got a big EWR sign on the big outside of the building, and we're kind of near one of the entrances towards North Temple.
Okay, and I always guess everybody knows where the state fairgrounds are, but they're 155 North 10th West in Salt Lake City. I kind of missed the opportunity to be out there, to be honest with you. My first 10 years of radio were in country radio, and because there was always country entertainment out there every night, we broadcast every day during the fair, so we sort of lived out there during the run of the fair, and I missed the Navajo tacos.
I'm going to have to get some of those.
Yeah, grab some Navajo tacos. Channing, thanks for letting everybody know what's going on at the DWR building. Easy to find. Just look for the Division of Wildlife Resources sign there and take the kids out and do some fishing and learn about black bears and get up close and personal with a full-size black bear in a cave. Sounds like a lot of fun. Channing, thanks for your help.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
That'll wrap up the show for this week. The Greenhouse Show is coming up on the other side of an ABC News update, so don't go away.